Have you ever listened to someone talk and thought they were talking about you or directly to you? Like everything they were saying was about your life? Think like Killing Me Softly by Roberta Flack or the Fugees, depending on how old you are and what generation you're from. Today, we are finishing our series on speaker archetypes with The Connector. Those speakers who thrive on personal connection, empathy, and relatability. I personally listen to many podcasts because the host of that podcast is a connector and they can speak directly to me as an audience member. And I just feel like I am a part of their world. And, you know, if there's co-hosts, maybe you feel like you're a part of their conversation, even though it's completely one-sided. That's what the connector is able to do. Before we get into it, I truly hope that you have enjoyed this series so far. And if you're someone who speaks in front of audiences, gives presentations in your corporate job, or just speaks up in meetings, let's talk about how I can help you hone your spoken image to become the thought leader that you were meant to be. Go to semiconventional.com and book a discovery session where we'll chat about your background, your goals, and see if we're a good fit to work together so I can help you reach those goals. So again, semiconventional.com, you can't miss the book a discovery session button, and I'll talk with you soon. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome to Her Spoken Image. I'm April Lokar, founder of Semiconventional and thought leadership consultant. Are you ready to make a greater impact using your unique perspective? I know what it's like to realize you're in the middle of your career and want to create a new path. I've pivoted from school teacher to corporate trainer to entrepreneur with lots of lessons learned along the way. If you want to use your authentic voice to speak up with confidence, you're going to love it here. Each episode, you'll get actionable tips to master public speaking like a pro while honing your spoken image so your message comes through loud and clear. And we'll do all this through a semi-conventional lens that blends a little tradition with a lot of feminist perspective. Sound good? Then let's get into it. Ooh, we made it, y'all. Today we are talking about our last speaker archetype. If you missed any of the previous episodes, go back and listen to those. You don't have to listen to them in order, but go back and listen because we talk about the other speaker archetypes. But today's focus is all about those people who, as speakers, really thrive on connection. And they do that through relatability and empathy. And they really have an innate ability to create a sense of community among their audience. And that makes each listener or person in the audience feel seen and understood. Through sharing their personal stories and vulnerabilities, triumphs, failures, all of that, right? The connector fosters a bond that really transcends the divide. Or, you know, if we're thinking about this in, you know, movie or TV talk, it like breaks that fourth wall, right? And it encourages open dialogue and mutual support and really, really builds that community. Now, the cool thing about the connector is that they really emphasize their relational approach to speaking. And think about people like Mr. Rogers. He was the host of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which I grew up watching. I know many listeners here have as well. And he really had that unique ability to connect with children and adults and address complex emotions, different topics with kindness and with understanding. His gentle demeanor and direct communication style fostered a really deep sense of trust and safety and made each viewer feel valued and understood. I remember as a kid watching that show and thinking Mr. Rogers was talking to me, right? It wasn't this thing where he just was this personality on television. It really felt like we had an after-school relationship. I would come home, eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a glass of milk, and sit in front of the TV and watch Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. That was just how things went, right? So people like Mr. Rogers, or, you know, really even thinking about Brené Brown. While she can sometimes fit into the teacher archetype, she can also fit into this connector archetype because of her ability to share her own vulnerabilities and really encourage others to embrace theirs. And that creates that deep connection with her audience. Usually, if you talk to somebody who likes Brené Brown, they don't like Brené, they love her. And her TED Talk on the power of vulnerability is a really great example, offering insights into human connection and the importance of embracing our imperfections. And then you also have the example of the one and only Michelle Obama, right? Former First Lady of the United States. She is really known for her engaging and heartfelt speeches. She's often sharing personal stories and insights, and she has that ability to connect with people on a personal level. And that, coupled with her advocacy for education and health and equality, it really resonates with a wide audience. While I don't necessarily love reading books, I do love listening to audiobooks, and her book, Becoming, was really great to listen to, especially since she narrated it herself. And it really showcases her capacity to inspire and connect through shared experiences and challenges. Some of the qualities of these individuals and connectors are that they build rapport and foster that sense of community. They share vulnerabilities, seek to understand the audience and where they're coming from, right? They're really able to put themselves in other people's shoes. And they often engage in dialogue or Q&A sessions as well. So if you would much rather have an open conversation with an audience than give them a presentation, you may be a connector. The benefits of being a connector are that you are creating a welcoming and inclusive atmosphere, encouraging audience participation and feedback, adapting messages on the fly to meet audience needs. It really is a great method to use to encourage that audience connection. And for every benefit, there's also risks or cautions, as I like to say in this series. With the connector, there needs to be a balance to personal sharing with professional boundaries. Sometimes connectors can verge on oversharing and maybe getting too personal, right? And going down the road of TMI, we did not need to know that much about your first marriage or whatever the case may be, right? Whatever the example is. There is also the challenge of managing diverse audience reactions and interactions. You may be in a large conference space where it's not a super tailored and selected group of individuals that you're talking to. So as a connector, you need to be able to manage the fact that you're going to get different reactions to what you're talking about. And if you have that audience participation, you might have some tough questions, and that's okay, right? You just need to be prepared to deal with that. Now, just like the other speaker archetypes, you don't need to have the connector as your primary archetype for it to be something that you can leverage. There are strategic ways to use elements from this archetype. It's ideal for interactive workshops, panel discussions, and really any format that benefits from audience engagement. So if it's going to be something where you want people involved in your talk, this can be a great path to follow. I have three strategies for you to use to implement the elements of the connector into your talks, into your world. The first strategy is to share personal experiences and vulnerabilities. Now, before you say it, I know I said don't overshare. However, when you open up about your own challenges, your own failures, or lessons learned in a way that's relevant to your topic, you get audience participation. You get them on your side. Even if they disagree with what you're talking about, they're still relating to you. You can choose stories or experiences that highlight your humanity, show that you faced similar obstacles, and that's going to resonate with them. And this could really be as simple as sharing a mistake you made and what it taught you, or a moment of doubt that you had and how you overcame it. This strategy works because sharing personal vulnerabilities makes you more relatable and trustworthy to your audience. It breaks down barriers, showing that you understand their struggles, which can foster a deeper sense of connection and empathy. For instance, when I talk with clients that I'm coaching in their public speaking, I will often tell them about situations that I've been in where I was, you know, giving a talk or a presentation of some kind, usually in a corporate setting, because that's a lot of the individuals that I work with are in or from corporate. And when I talk with them about these examples, you know, one that first comes to mind is when I was giving a presentation that people just had to be at. It was sort of a like safety compliance thing. And it was a room full of like 300 people. This was their annual safety training. And I was giving this in this huge ballroom and I'm on a microphone. And it was, I think, just after lunchtime. Nobody wanted to be there at this point in time, but it was part of their day. And so they were there finishing up eating, getting up, moving around. And I just felt this sense that everything that I was doing felt pointless because nobody wanted to be there. And so I'm like, why am I even up here talking about this? But at the same point in time, I had to remember, hey, this stuff is really important. And if they don't follow these safety precautions, then something really bad can happen. And, you know, so I go down that rabbit hole in my head of like, okay, if they forget this stuff, then what's the worst case scenario? And I think that through and go, okay, this is important. And so then I kind of reached in my bag of tricks and, you know, pulled out a couple audience engagement strategies of asking them a couple questions, you know, a couple polling questions just to kind of get their attention and get their engagement. And we were back on track. And does that mean everybody suddenly wanted to be there and thought this was the best thing in their day? Absolutely not. But it got them involved and it got them on the side of, hey, let's get this done. And hey, it doesn't have to suck, right? So those are some types of things that you can do is share those personal experiences with your audience to let them know you've been there. The second strategy is to actively listen and encourage audience participation. This is a way for you to create opportunities for your audience to share their thoughts, their questions, or their own experiences during your talk. This could be through live Q&A sessions, maybe interactive polls, small group discussions, depending on what format this talk is happening in. When someone else is speaking from the audience, you can demonstrate active listening, acknowledging their contributions, thanking them for sharing, and if appropriate, weaving their insights into the rest of your presentation. So one of the ways I like to do this, especially if it's a more casual kind of open conversation type presentation, is somebody might share a story or something that resonates with them, and I'll take their sentiments and sort of paraphrase to just kind of summarize what they said and relate that back to the message that I'm sharing. And that really helps to like draw all of the pieces together. And this strategy really works because it encourages your audience not only to listen and to be engaged, but really to participate. And it shows that you value their input and you're not just standing up there as the leader of this conversation or the thought leader of this space. You recognize that they have value to this as well, to this conversation. And it also creates a more dynamic and inclusive environment. It transforms the speaking event from just a monologue, right, or a lecture into a dialogue. And that can lead to much more meaningful engagement and that sense of community among the participants. The third strategy is to use inclusive language and address diverse perspectives. Now, this might seem obvious in today's climate, but it's something to really be mindful of and to use as a strategy, because being mindful of the language that you use And ensuring it's inclusive and respectful to your audience members helps them to feel that they're a part of your community. It also is helpful to acknowledge that there may be a variety of perspectives and experiences with your audience. You can do that by using different phrases like, you know, some of us may have experienced this, or there are many ways to look at this issue, and give a variety of different perspectives. Again, this approach shows that you recognize and appreciate the diversity of your audience. Now, what this looks like in practice could be something as simple as you're giving a talk in front of maybe a room full of mom entrepreneurs, and maybe you're a mom entrepreneur yourself. So instead of saying, you know, oh, our husbands, or something along those lines, which is something I've heard people say, that assumes that, first of all, everyone is in a heterosexual relationship, that everyone is married just because they're a mom, right? There's all sort of assumptions that come along with saying something like that. So it can be, you know, as simple as saying your partner, or, you know, your significant other, whatever term feels good to you, but that also addresses diverse perspectives and allows for the inclusion of all different types of lifestyles, right? That is going to help people resonate with your message and not get turned off because they feel like it's not for them, right? That inclusive language works because it acknowledges everybody in the room and it makes your audience feel seen and respected. It's why we listen to the podcasts we listen to. It's why we watch the movies we watch, right? Because we feel a connection to them. It demonstrates your awareness of different experiences and really reinforces the message that everyone's voice and perspective are valuable. That inclusivity can strengthen the bond between you and your audience. And again, that makes your message that much more impactful. Now, again, the connector's strength lies in building relationships and fostering that sense of belonging and that sense of community. By incorporating these three strategies, sharing personal experiences and vulnerabilities, active listening and encouraging audience participation, and using that inclusive language, addressing diverse perspectives, those three strategies will help you to make your communications more effective and more heartfelt. Like I said at the top of the episode, I really hope you have enjoyed this speaker archetype series, and I'd love to hear which archetypes you resonate the most with. Send me a DM on Instagram or shoot me an email, april@semiconventional.com. I want to hear from you and see how many of you are each of these archetypes in the audience. I also encourage you to go back and listen to episode 33, which is this month's special interview episode with Selena Guerrero. She does a really great job of introducing empathy into the sales process as a sales and LinkedIn coach. So you don't want to miss that interview. It's really, really great. Till next time. Before you go, thanks for listening. Hit that subscribe button, then leave a review so other aspiring thought leaders can find the show and hone their spoken image too. That's it for today. And remember, I'm rooting for you.